turn to God's word. Merciful, gracious God, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we can put on the garments of praise afresh, Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we can come to this place, Lord, to look once again to thy glorious word, Lord. Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that we can come here to think of Calvary afresh, Lord. We can come here tonight, Lord, to lift up your gracious name, Lord. Lord, I pray that we leave here, Lord, tonight with a sense of a realization of the power in the name of Jesus, Lord. Let us leave tonight with the garments of praise upon us, Lord. Let us shake off the spirit of heaviness, Lord. Lord, the spirit that would try to come upon us to make us feel downcast, Lord. The spirit that would try to make us doubt, Lord. Lord, I pray that the doubter's voice will be silenced in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. That the voice of reason will be silenced in the name of Jesus. And let the voice of the Lord speak tonight, Lord, to your people, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray, Lord, that I'll just step aside, Lord, for I can do nothing, Lord, of myself. But your word says that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord. Lord, I am not able to do anything, Lord, of this, Lord. I am not able to bring a word, but Lord, you're able, Lord, to do it, Lord. I pray that you will let me just step out of the way, Lord, and let your words be heard, Lord. Any thought of mine, Lord, that would not be edifying for your people, Lord, just let it be cast down in the name of Jesus. But let all your words, Lord, sink into our thoughts, Lord. Let them go into our hearts, Lord. Let us meditate upon them both day and night. Let thy voice be heard in our ear, that the enemy's voice cannot be heard no longer, but the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ may speak, Lord, clear and loud to us, Lord, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord, for the prayer request that's gone up before you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will move in them situations, Lord. For people, Lord, that, Lord, this morning, Lord, that lifted up their hands or come forth for prayer, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'll now strengthen them, Lord, that you'll let them be dedicatedly, totally fixed upon you. Let their mind be set upon Calvary tonight in Jesus' precious name. For your glory and honor we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. One scripture I've been thinking about nearly all week. But I'll try, but I know I'll not do it much justice. There's a lot of people in here, but more able to bring a word better than me. I'd be better sitting down there, maybe. But tonight, by the grace of God, I'll maybe say something that'll edify you and do you good. The verse is Romans chapter 12, and I want to read verses 1 and verses 2, and this is for everyone, but I want you young people in here tonight to pay attention to these words. It says, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this is the bit I want to highlight. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. You may have your seat tonight. I want to pay attention tonight to this one particular point of this scripture tonight. And it is, be not conformed. This is a day and age of conforming. This is a day and age where it's conform, join up, unite. This is not uniting time, not with the enemy. Do not unite with the enemy. Do not accept. You know, you'll have plenty of friends in school, you'll have plenty of friends in your workplace. Come out with us for a night and we'll show you a good time. Conform to this world. But the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's one tonight that is able to transform your life, but the devil wants to deform your life. The devil wants to take your life from you. He wants to rob you of your life. He wants to get you when you're young. He wants to get you when you're young. You know, there was an old priest one time says, if I can just get a child when he's young, he'll always be a Catholic. And you know, I have nothing against Catholic people. I have a lot of Catholic people that are good friends of mine. And I really appreciate them, but I hate the system with a passion. I'm absolutely against the Catholic Church, wholeheartedly against it. And their whole ploy is to get them when they're young. You know, we went one time to a wedding, and even at that wedding, the way they worded it, that they would bring up the child in the Catholic Church. They basically had to make a vow to do that. And what about the Protestant people? They will not even hardly send their children to Sunday school. You know, a man one time told us about, they were holding little Sunday school meetings down in Belfast, and these people come in and they said, "We don't need religion round here." And they were so-called Protestants. They were turning their back on the very foundation of the Protestant faith, and they didn't even know it. But you know, this word says, be not conformed. Amen. This world wants to get you when you're young. It wants to get you to the pub. It wants to get you hooked on nicotine. It wants to get you hooked on drugs. It wants to get you hooked on this world's vices. Conform you to this world. I know what I'm talking about. You know, I used to race motorbikes, and you know the kind of characters around motorbikes. Now, they're not bad fellas, don't get me wrong, but the whole emphasis around it is drinking and partying and all the rest of it. That's the whole basis behind the whole sportsmanship. It's like the complete opposite to sports, really. It's like football. Look at the bunch of boys on the sideline. Yes. All got beer bellies on them, and they're deciding how somebody wasn't that good at running, and they couldn't run the length of themselves. But you know, the whole emphasis around these different things is sin. Now, there's nothing wrong with any sport, but the emphasis around it, like I say, the motorbike racing was good, I enjoyed it, but I don't advise any young man to take it up unless you want plenty of broken bones and all the rest of it. But you know, the whole emphasis around these different sports is the glory of man. Yeah. We don't want to glorify any man, but we want to glorify one man, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he wasn't any ordinary man. Amen. But he was God veiled in flesh. Yes. He was the God man, and that's the one I want to glorify tonight. Amen. But you know, here we see that there's one tonight that can transform your life. I was talking to Lamont recently, and I like what he said. He was just telling him about his testimony and different things, and he said, you know, he says, I can't say I didn't really have a good time when I was in the world, because I did have a good time, but he said there was no future in it. I thought that was a good statement. You know, we maybe enjoyed it. It says the pleasure of sin lasts but for a season. It's pleasure at the time, but there's no future in it. There's no future in living for Satan. There's no future in being conformed to this world. But I want you to know that there's an eternal future for those that will accept the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a future in that. It's a future without an end. Eternal life. You know, I've been there. I've been in school. I know what it's like. Come with us and we'll take you to the coach, or come with us and we'll have a wee quiet smoke or a wee drink. Your parents won't know about it. You know, that's what this world's whole emphasis is. As I said, Satan wants to take over your life. His whole emphasis has been from day one to slip into God's plan and try and pervert it, try and change it. But God's plan for your life is to transform it. Amen. What is this? Well, I want to look here in 1 Samuel. I want to see what David said about the power of God. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22. When you realize that you've got God in your life, this is what you can say. 22 and verses 31 to 37. David says, as for God, his ways is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my ways perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. Amen. He setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that my bow the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. Wow. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet. Yeah. Have you ever seen the way a goat or anything it is? Like a goat's like a perfect example. I've seen goats. If you've ever been in a quarry, I don't work in a quarry in Fermanagh, and I've seen goats that went up the side of the quarry, and they were up on the side of this rock, this wee ledge, for a long time, and these critters, they come in and they thought, there's them poor wee goats stuck up there. And they hired all this equipment to get up, and when they get up here, the goats just done a wee jump and just jumped off the ledge, up onto the top, and away they went. The goats weren't stuck at all. The goats were able to go where man couldn't go. And David here was a man that was in the wilderness. He was a man that kept the sheep, and he said in his testimony to the king, he says about the bear coming in, about the lion coming in, and about how that God gave him the victory over them things. But you know, he had seen the deer there. He had seen the wild goats. He had seen these animals, and he'd seen where they could go. And he likened that to the way that the Lord could transform your life.
Amen.
He can make your feet like hinds' feet.
Amen.
What does that mean? He also says that they would not slip. He enlarges your path. Amen. He makes it in such a way that you'll not slip out from underneath you. Amen. I want to read you a little poem that I heard recently. Thought it was a good one. It's called, you've probably heard it before, it's called The Touch of the Master's Hand or the Old Violin. Maybe you've heard it several times, I don't know. It's a fairly long poem, but bear with me. It was battered and scoured, and the auctioneer thought it hardly worth his while to waste his time on an old violin. But he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good people?" he cried. "Who start the bidding for me? $1. $1 do I hear? $2. $2. Who makes it $3? Once $3, twice going for the $3, but no." From the room far back, a grey-bearded man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin, he tightened up the strings. He played a melody pure and sweet as an angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What now am I bid for the old violin?" As he held it aloft with its bow, $1,000 do I hear? $2,000. Who makes it $3? $3,000. $3,000 twice going and gone," he said. The audience cheered, but some of them cried, "We just don't understand what change it's worth." Swiftly came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune, all battered and bruised with his hardness, its auction cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He is going once, he is going twice, he is going and almost gone. But the master comes. And the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul that is changed, that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand.
Amen.
The change, hallelujah! The old drunk on the street, the old drunk that we all to walk past and shake our head at, but the touch of the master's hand.
Amen.
You know, Tommy mentioned that scripture this morning, I spoke on it one time. That man that lay at the pool of Bethesda, and I like what he said to Jesus, he said, "Sir, I have no man." All the great religious men walked by him. When it was that season, they walked by him anyway. They didn't care about him. "Sir, I have no man." That was his testimony. "I have no man to put me in the water." Could you say that you directed someone to receive a touch of the master's hand? Could their testimony be, "Sir, maybe accepted, but there was a man"? Or is their testimony, "Sir, I have no man"? Have you walked past and shook your head when maybe you could have prayed? changed his whole thinking. When God showed him how he looked upon that person, he looked upon them differently than the man did, because he looked at them through the blood. And I thank God tonight for the blood. You know what? The crowd were marveled, weren't they? All the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the Master's hand. Amen. One touch tonight. One touch. One touch from the Lord Jesus Christ can transform. Amen. It only took one touch for that blind man that day. That blind man that was walking along and Jesus spit on the spit of him. He got the clay and he put it in his eyes and he could see. One touch of the Master's hand, and the critics said, what happened? How did it happen? All about it. What happened? The foolish crowd. They said, oh, it can't be. He's not of our denomination. It couldn't be. It couldn't have happened that way. He said, I don't know this or that, but all of a sudden I know that a man called Jesus, hallelujah, a man called Jesus touched him. And he seen. A man called Jesus. A touch of the Master's hand. One touch of the Master's hand. You know, Gary spoke about Samson. All it took was a touch of the Master's hand upon a mere mortal man. A touch of the Master's hand, and he went and lifted that jawbone of an ass and slew them thousands of men. A touch of the Master's hand transformed the life. A touch of the Master's hand, while the mocking crowd laughed at Samson. While they laughed him to scorn, I like when Brother Branham tells about it. He says he was in there, and you know, he feels that lock starting to come back down. He feels that hair, and he starts to think that hair grew back again. It's back again. And then he prays, Lord, Lord, let me be avenged on these Philistines one last time. Lord, let me be avenged on this enemy one more time. Is that your prayer tonight? Lord, let me be avenged on this enemy tonight. Samson realized that that prayer was back. He realized that God made a promise. A promise was made. That if them locks was not sheared, that if they were not cut off, that God would give him a supernatural ability. Transforming power. And that little lad put his hands on them two pillars. And he wiped them Philistines out. Transforming power. He was just a man. You know, Brother Branham says it like he maybe just was like a wee weasel of a man, as it were. He was nothing to look at. This is what made it amazing. He was nothing to look at but a touch of the Master's hand. A touch of the Master's hand took a boy who was a shepherd and made him a king. A touch of the Master's hand can take any man and make him a royalty in the kingdom of heaven. A touch of the Master's hand can transform the life. A touch of the Master's hand took that boy. And he stepped out one day to a giant with just a sling in his hand and a stone and defeated him. Amen. When all the great armies, all the great military men were shaking in their boots, they were afraid of him. But one man knew that a touch and the transforming power of God could make him face anything. Yeah. You know, a touch of the Master's hand in Elijah's life. When he run before the chariots and the horses, Usain Bolt or any of them Olympians wouldn't have seen the road he went. He just run off in front of them horses. They couldn't keep up with him. A touch of the Master's hand. A touch of the Master's hand when he was standing that day and he mocked all them prophets. He laughed at them. He wasn't worried about them. He wasn't afraid of offending them, because he knew that God would prove himself. Don't be afraid to testify of the healing power of God for fear of people. The devil will tell you what he wants. He'll tell you what he has done. You know, you'll hear tomorrow morning, if you're working in some places, about how they had a great night in such and a pub, or how they had a great night in such and a nightclub, or something like that. But we're always afraid to offend.
about telling them how we had a great night in the church. How we had a great time in the house of God. And we could say like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of God. I was glad. I was glad of the day that the transforming power of God touched my life. And He changed me from a sinner on my road to hell to a saint on my road to heaven. You know, the Catholic Church, they wait till you die before they make you a saint. But that's not the way God operates. When the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ touches you, He changes you. Jesus said, a man doesn't take a garment and put a new bit of cloth into the old garment, or else the rent will get worse. But He changes the whole thing. That's what Jesus does. He takes the life like this little hymn, this old poem said. This old man, battered and scarred, like that old violin, it was all covered in dust. Nobody wanted it. $1 it was bid for it, but then it was $3,000 when a touch of the master's hand came upon the bow, and the new music come from that violin like no man heard before. You know, that old mouth that once could curse, that old mouth that could talk nonsense, could now praise the Lord. A touch of the master's hand can change that old mouth. Now that old tongue can magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know, it was a touch of the master's hand the day that Saul, like our brother John spoke on it one time, when Saul came down there and Samuel was speaking to him. In 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 6, he says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man.
Amen.
And it says that his heart was changed. Hallelujah!
Amen.
The heart can be changed tonight by the transforming power of God. What about Abraham and Sarah? God showed us His transforming power. He showed us, you know, I love it when Brother Branham talks about that too, because he's the only preacher I ever heard that brought it down to now, and he said that God was showing us what He would do to us. He was showing us how that He would change these old vile bodies, how that He would transform them bodies for the catching up, how that He would change them. And He's, you know, we know that how Sarah says that it was past with her to have children. She was too old. But she never could have children anyway. You know, we know she never had children. But you know that when the transforming power of God came upon her, God changed that. He changed the situation. You know, there's all these great examples in the Bible. But you know, will you accept the transforming power of God tonight?
Amen.
Will you accept the touch of the Master's hand? Or will you say, no, I'm too young? Will you say, no, I'm too old, I've lived, I guess I'm going to keep going? What will you say tonight to the man called Jesus? Will you accept Him? Will you say, I'll take a touch of His hand tonight? You know that little woman with the issue of blood said, if I could but just touch the hem of His garment. If I could but just touch the hem of His garment. Tonight, if you could just build up the faith just to accept Him.
Amen.
Just to touch Him. Know that the hymn says to get a touch from the Lord is so real.
Amen.
If you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you.
Amen.
To get a touch from the Lord is so real.
Amen.
You know, Samuel said to Saul, he said, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and be turned into another man. I love that. The transforming power of God can turn you into another man. He can heal. He
things. We just have to accept them. You know, I also love the portion of scripture in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Verses 15 to 16. And this is David. And he says, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. You know, when I read this, I thought it was wonderful. If you tonight could just get to the well of Bethlehem. You know, if we could just get to the well of Bethlehem. There is a man tonight, and he is the well. I want you to know, we're saying about him. That woman might have not died that well. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
His name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
If you tonight could just get a drink off the well of Bethlehem, you'd never be the same. It would transform your life. If I could just get a drink of that well tonight, take a drink tonight, touch the Master's hand, and see the transforming power. You know, when Jesus sent out his disciples, he didn't send them out powerless or helpless, but it says that he gave them power over all manner of diseases and over all different obstacles that those arose. He gave them power. And the believer tonight has power. Like we sang, we have the power in the name of Jesus. The believer tonight has got that power. You know, when Peter's speaking, John, I think, spoke about it one time. He said, and this is that.
Amen.
That was spoken of the prophet Joel.
Amen.
That in the last days he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh.
Amen.
Do you want that tonight? That is my desire. To receive the pouring on of that tonight. This is that.
Amen.
That is a touch of the Master's hand. When them men, he says, these men are not drunken like you suppose they are. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
Amen.
Amen. It shall. This is that. That was spoken by the prophet Joel. That is in, we'll just turn to that tonight. Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 8. This is them receiving power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want your attention tonight to be drawn to that first line of that. But ye shall receive power. I want you tonight to claim that as your own. I want you tonight, if you say that you're a believer, to claim that you will receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.
Amen.
Now, if you follow God's remedy for receiving the Holy Ghost,
amen,
then you're a candidate for it, and you want to tell the devil that I've got a devil,
amen,
and I have got the power in the name of Jesus. What was his remedy? He says, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of the sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And have you been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well then, don't lack
said, a man called Jesus touched me.
Yes, ma'am.
And now I can see. I don't know why, if you're denomination or not, but a man called Jesus touched me.
Yes,
and I've been no longer the same.
Yes.
Oh, the devil wants to tell you that you're defeated. He wants to tell you that you're down and out. He wants to tell you that the race is over. But I've got news tonight for him. The race is just starting, devil. And we've got the power in the name of Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, all these mighty men of God. What about even David's mighty man? What about David's mighty man? Was it Ben and I? Says that he went down into a lion in a pit on a snowy day and he slew him.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
He went down into a pit full of lion. You imagine that? We've got a lion tonight and his name is Satan. He thinks he's a lion. It says he goes about like a roaring lion. But the scripture says that when they see him, they're going to say, is this the man, the torment of the nations?
Yes,
is this him?
Yes,
he wasn't very much to look upon when we seen him. But he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Yes.
But I want you to know tonight that if you have come under the blood, it's very simple tonight. You say, how do I get this transforming power? How do I get to this man called Jesus? Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
That's how simple it is.
Amen.
But the devil's method is a lot worse than that. He'll want to take you down this road, that road, and every other road. But Jesus has made a way tonight for you.
Amen.
And his way is the way off the cross. That's why he went there tonight. He went there for you. He went there for me. I want to finish up tonight reading Exodus chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the ninth hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And verses 21, I want you to listen tonight, young man, young woman, old man, old woman, whatever you may be tonight. You say to me, I need this transforming power, or you're saying tonight, you don't need Jesus, but I'm telling you tonight that you do need him. You need him tonight more than you ever needed him. This world's day, the clock is ticking tonight. She's like a time bomb ready to go off. The coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. Let me tell you tonight that Satan's telling you, oh, we have been here. My dad has told me that for years. My mama said that for years. Her grandparents said that for years. They were even saying that in Bible times. But I want you to know that the coming of the Lord draws nigh, and you must be ready.
Amen.
You must be ready. This is a warning tonight to you. You must be ready.
Amen.
Be ready tonight. He says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Whosoever. That excludes nobody and includes everybody.
Amen.
And I want you to know tonight that I'm not trying to add to the word of God, but whosoever, that means that everyone, every single one tonight can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. He can transform your life. Let's just stand up tonight there, feet a moment. Don't think that I'm just a head case that's come here tonight and I've done a lot of shouting, but I want you to know something tonight, that I am serious. If you're in this place tonight and you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, do it tonight. Do it tonight.
tonight. Don't leave it another day. Don't say, ah, well, I come every week. I hear this every week. And you go out the same way. But accept them tonight.
Amen.
Let's just bow our heads a moment tonight and close our eyes. You know, this thing Jesus can heal. We've heard that so many times in this place. I thank God for it. But tonight, if Satan has been whispering in your ear saying, ah, well, I don't think you're just going to get that healing touch, turn it back on him tonight and say, Satan, I've already got it. I've already got it because what did our pastor read this morning? He read that by his stripes ye were healed. It's past tense. It's done. It's up to you to accept it tonight. Young man, young woman, tonight, it's up to you to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't take you. Your mom or dad's experience will never get you to heaven. Their good thinking and their great anything for you won't do it. But you yourself need a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I presented Christ to you, and I'll ask you the question that, you know, Pilate asked them people. He said, what will you do with this man? What will you do with a man called Jesus? Will you say away with him tonight? Or will you say, I'll accept him? I'll take him. I'll take him tonight. I'll accept him. As we're here tonight, I'm not going to ask you to do lift palms or anything at all, but you know yourself. This has been laid in my heart all week, this scripture. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed.
Amen.
Be not conformed. Don't go down that road. Please don't go down that road. But accept the path that God has made for you. Look at the path that God has set out for you. He says, I have good thoughts for you. His ways are not man's ways, but I can tell you that his way is the right way. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we bow here tonight, Lord, I give you thanks for your word afresh, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll forgive me, Lord. Maybe, Lord, I did not present your word the way it ought to be presented. But Lord, Lord, you know my heart, Lord. Lord, let this simple scripture, let this simple verse, Lord, take root in any young heart tonight, Lord, or old heart, or whatever it may be, Lord. Let them see, Lord, the folly of following this world's ways. And let them, Lord, see the transforming power of you. Lord, change their life, Lord, and I claim them under your blood. Lord, for all our loved ones tonight as we gather here, and Lord, we all believe together, and Lord, let our prayer walk before you tonight like a sweet-smelling savour, Lord. Let it come into your throne, Lord, and Lord, let your angels bring it right up to you tonight, Lord, and say, here's their prayer. Oh, Lord, we pray tonight for our loved ones, Lord. Lord, we say, save them and deliver them. Lord, for that drunk man, Lord. Lord, we see him as just that old drunk, but Lord, you see him as a son of yours, Lord, through the blood. Oh, Lord God, let your messengers, Lord, let your angels bring up this prayer before you tonight, Lord, and lay it at your throne, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you will give it preference in the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, Lord, for every heart in this place, Lord. For every person, Lord. Lord, let this word sink into their hearts and minds, Lord. For those young people struggling at school, Lord. For those that are having a tough time with the enemy, Lord, in workplace or wherever it may be, Lord. For those that the voice of the enemy has spoken into their ear, lies and whispered lies, and Lord, tormenting them, Lord. Lord, let the tormentor's voice be silenced and shut up in the name of Jesus. But let the sweet voice of the Lord whisper into their ear thoughts that is good for them. Let your thoughts take over our minds and our bodies, Lord. Let your thoughts, Lord, be the center of our thinking in Jesus' name. Let all the thoughts of this world be cast down, Lord. Let us cast aside all land bondage like your servant Jonah did, Lord, in that we
Satan says it's bad, but Jesus says it's good tonight in the name of Jesus. The condition says you're finished. The doctor says there's no hope, but Jesus said, I'll give you hope, for I died on Calvary. I went to the whipping post for you. I bore the stripes on my back for you, and by my stripes you're healed. That's what he says tonight. Don't listen to the enemy any longer. Don't listen to his lies, but listen to Jesus, for his words are truth. They are life. Oh Lord Jesus, let us, Lord, go forth tonight with a merry heart, Lord. Let your anointing abide upon us, Lord. Keep your hand upon us in the days that lie ahead, Lord. Lord, give all, Lord, that are in the valley of decision. Lord, maybe they're there tonight, wondering, do I turn left, do I turn right? Oh Lord, let them turn on to the path that you have prepared for them tonight. In Jesus Christ's name. Lord, accept of our praise tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name. For thy glory I ask it. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's just keep standing. I'm going to ask the musicians to come. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Thank God for the Word of God. You know, thinking of a wee song, I can't remember all the words of it or out of trying to sing it. I heard it years and years ago, but I was thinking of it the night as Samuel was preaching. Three crosses standing on Calvary's hill. Two of them there against their own will. The one in the middle, he died there for me.
Amen.
The cross in the middle never went there against his will, but he went to fulfill the Father's plan. Christ set his face as a flint to go to Calvary.
Amen.
To save and to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
We're going to sing tonight whatever Brother Gary feels led. While we're singing, if you want prayer, you come forward tonight. Samuel and Brother John's here to lay hands on you and pray for you. And I believe for two agrees, touching anything, in my name, Jesus says, they can have it. So if you come tonight, I believe God will do something for you. The Spirit of the Lord's here.
Amen.
The presence of the Lord's in this room.
Yes.
We've created an atmosphere. You know, when they go to the games, whatever it's age they go to, they sing and they whip it all up. And the players play better when there's a good atmosphere. When we come to church, we need to create an atmosphere for God to move.
Amen.
We do that by praise and worship and the Spirit of God. In this room tonight. I can guarantee you that. God can touch you tonight, and God can speak into your situation tonight prophetically. For the Spirit of the Lord's here. So the brother sings and leads us. You come tonight if you need prayer. And if God spoke to a young person and you need to get saved, don't miss it. What about that wee fellow the other week in his 30s? But a steel dropped on him and he was killed stone dead. Swept away. You come the night of the Lord's moving on you. And the Lord bless you, and the Lord bless Samuel. God bless you.
Listen, Lord, and Jesus, keep me near the cross.